God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
I want to talk this morning about God, my healer. I work under a couple of assumptions. I assume you read your Bible. I may be wrong, but I assume you read your Bible. If I'm wrong, might I suggest that you... Okay. So the scriptures that we talk about shouldn't be unusual or unfamiliar to us. And they might be, but they shouldn't be. But here we put them up on the board as we go along, and or not on the board, on the display up there. And as we go through Scripture, the Bible tells us that as you go through the Bible, it should be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That the Word of God should fit together and bring forth a message. So sometimes I'll be going to different books of the Bible, actually not sometimes, almost all the time, I'm going to different books of the Bible, bringing out the same thought, bringing out the message that God has laid on my heart. I'm not one of those that have gone through many years of seminary. In fact, I'm not one of those that have gone through any years of seminary. But when I was 12 years old, I was bitten by a cottonmouth moccasin. I was in a sugarcane field in Florida. My brother and my cousin and I had put out hand lines to catch soft-shell turtles, which are very good eating and grow big enough to eat down in Florida. They don't up here. But I was going down to check one of the lines, and I was bitten by a cottonmouth moccasin. And I sent my brother and my cousin to get help, knowing I was about to die. And I didn't want them to have to watch me die. And as I'm there in that sugarcane field and they've gone to get help, it took them 45 minutes to get back with help, by the way. I watched the color go out of everything so that there were only outlines. And I watched the outlines fade so that there was only light. And I heard a voice say, "I've called you to preach my word." This was 12 years old. By the time I was 17, I was preaching in the pulpit of my home church, and I had a life that was absolutely not pleasing God. And I decided that I couldn't pretend to be a Christian with the way that I was living, so I left the church. And for 16 years, did not darken a church door until finally I'd made such a mess out of my life. I was in California. I was in the Navy at the time, going to school. My then wife and three children were in Virginia Beach. My wife refused to go to the West Coast. The Navy told me the only way I would get back to the East Coast, since I was up for shore duty, would be to forego shore duty and take another ship. I had a seashore rotation of 5 years at sea for every 2 years at shore. In 14 years in the Navy, I had spent 5 years apiece on two different ships. It was a short period of time between the two and school, and that was the rest of it. And I made such a mess of my life that as I was walking down a dirt road on the backside of a golf course on a Navy base in California, the Navy base doesn't exist anymore as a Navy base, in San Francisco Bay Area, I cried out to the Lord and I said, "I've always known you're real, but I've never known how to live for you. But if you can do anything with this life, it's yours." And I felt God just wrap his arms around about me. When I stopped running from God, I found out he was right there. It took a long time to get to that point. From that point, I joined a ministry and I went into the mission field. And I was in Israel for a year and a half. And after coming back, I was at a Pentecostal campground in Ashland, Virginia. Then I was an associate pastor of a small black church in Atlanta, Georgia, or outside of Atlanta in Decatur. when I felt God was bringing me up here. I actually thought God was sending me to Montreal. And I got on the train. And I left Richmond, Virginia. And I got to the border. And at the border, they told me I couldn't just move to Canada. It's another country. You have to get permission to do that. Right. And as I got turned around, I began to meet people that let me know I was where I was supposed to be. One of the people I met about a month and a half after I'd been here, I've now been married to for 22 years. One of the people I met, I got to town, actually, today is the 18th, right? Yep. 19th. So on the 18th, Friday was St. Patrick's Day. As of Friday, I've been in Vermont for 25 years. That was a Tuesday that year. Midnight Tuesday night, I got into St. Albans. By Sunday, I had two full-time jobs. Sunday night, I met Howard Parrish at the Nazarene Church, who later became the pastor of this church, who later turned this church over to me. I am where God wants me to be. He's made it very, very clear in many different ways. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm doing what God has equipped me to do. And anything good you see in me is only because of the mercy of God. Get all that out of the way. Let's start in a scripture. Exodus 15, beginning with verse 25. Setting the stage, the children of Israel are wandering. They have left Egypt. God has delivered them from Egypt. They are in the wilderness. They are thirsty. They come across some water, and the water is bitter. And like they often did, they began complaining to the Lord, "You've brought us out here to die. Why did you deliver us from all those good leeks and onions and cucumbers in Egypt and bring us out here in the wilderness just to have us die here?" And they began to complain, and finally Moses went before the Lord and says in verse 25, "So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And we had cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought onto Egypt. For I am the Lord who heals you.'" God declared to the children of Israel who he is among the declaration of who he is. "I am the Lord who heals you." In the Hebrew, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. His nature doesn't change because he's talking to us now instead of talking to the children of Israel. God is the God who heals us. Many of you have experienced healing from the Lord. Some of you haven't. Some have heard about it. Others haven't. I'm here to tell you God heals.
Amen. That's right.
My daughter, I have two daughters. My oldest daughter was roller skating and tripped and broke her leg. We were not in a situation where we could get to a hospital. There were some different people about. I mean, you could see her leg. I mean, it wasn't broke the skin, but you could see the poke of her left shin pushing against the skin. And we prayed for her. And God healed her.
Just like that.
God says, "I am the God who heals." I'm here to tell you, and we're going to talk about it, that we don't always see it happen. We don't always see the miraculous. We don't always see, even over time, we don't always see things happening. But we serve a God who is able to heal. The God who knit my body together in my mother's womb is able to heal me. The God who knit your body together in your mother's womb is able to heal. Believe that for a moment. We'll keep on going. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35. Says, then Jesus went out to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We'll stop right there for just a minute. Jesus told the disciples at one point, the things that I do and greater things will you do because I go to my Father. Jesus healed every sickness and every disease in this situation as he's talking about here. Of course, but we know when he went to the pool, and I get confused, I'll admit that, it's either the pool of Siloam and the pool of Bethesda. Both of them are pools mentioned in the Bible, and I can't remember which one was the healing one where the angel stirred up the water. So somebody's going to have to help me with that. But Jesus went there, and there was this guy that had been a paralytic since he was a child. And he complained that every time the angel stirred up the water, somebody else was able to get into water before him because no one was there to help him. Jesus shows up and heals him. Jesus didn't heal the rest of the people sitting around the pool. Why does God work that way? I don't know. I have a promise in my Bible that one day I will know even as also I am known. Paul said that. Now I know in part and I understand in part, but one day I will know even as also I am known. One day I'm going to understand things that I don't understand now. But in the meantime, I stand in faith knowing that the God who created me and who knit me together in my mother's womb, who knows all of my days before ever any of them were, before ever any of them came about, has a plan and purpose for my life. Many of you have heard different parts of my testimony. I should have been dead. I talked about the moccasin biting me. I've been shot at. I've been stabbed. I've been electrocuted twice. I've had a foot-long piece of wood stuck in my head. I've been shot, had an arrow stuck in my eyebrow, running back to the house with an arrow flopping out here. Should have been crippled. But God has a plan. I tell people God looks after fools and little children. I was both. But God continues to work. He continues to be at work in us. Jesus healed every sickness and every disease among the people. That was verse 35. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Gives kind of a hint there and kind of an understanding there that Jesus desires us to go out and to be lights, go out and be help to the people around us. To trust that the Lord wants to heal and to be willing to step out. Be willing to pray for people. Be willing to encourage people. Be willing to lift people up. Because God is the one who's interested in their soul. God is the one who's interested in their health. God is the one who's interested in their well-being. And it's got to be God that does the healing in the first place. I guarantee you, if somebody comes up to you and lays hands on you and prays for you and you get healed, it was not the person who walked up to you and laid hands on you that did it. It is God. It is God who works in us. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your strength is renewed like the eagles. God cleanses, heals, forgives all of our iniquities, heals all of our diseases. This is a praise here in the Psalms, recalling what God has done, because God has worked great things in my life, I am assuming in your life. God has done truly wondrous things in our life. He has shown Himself mighty. He has shown Himself merciful. He has answered prayers sometimes before we even ask. Scripture says, before you call, I will answer. And we've talked about this in here before I lose track of time. It was one of our significant anniversaries. Like I said, we're at 22 years now. I think it was 15. Deb and I had been out in Branson, Missouri. And our anniversary is in November. And if you're driving from Branson, Missouri to Vermont in November, weather is a concern. And as we were getting close, I was trying to find out what the weather was around the Great Lakes. We were praying, we were checking the radio, we were checking online, trying to find out any weather incidents that were taking place, because the quick way is to drive by Erie, you know, up Lake Erie, over by Lake Ontario on the way over here. And as we're praying and we're trying and we're seeking the Lord, and like I said, we're looking on television, we're looking online, we're looking, listening to the radio, trying to find out anything about the weather. And we're praying, Lord, we need to know. We need to know what is up there so we can plan accordingly. And we were still in Ohio and driving on the highway, and we're coming up to an exit. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, good opportunity to get off. Yeah, I'll hit the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, that sort of thing. And as we're getting off the highway, Cloverleaf on the interstate, four exits, there is three gas stations. We go to take a right, and just as we're about to take a right, a vehicle goes past us with Vermont plates. At this point, we have not seen Vermont plates in 12 days. The people go and they pull into the gas station. We pull past them, honk, wave. Deb goes inside. I go over to talk to the people. They're from Hinesburg. Those listening online that don't know where Hinesburg is, it's about an hour and a half away. It's over south of Burlington. So they're from Hinesburg. They're on their way to Cincinnati, Ohio, where their son has been living for 4 years. Now, our 10-hour drive from their house to where we are. They say, do not go by the Great Lakes. There's a horrible storm up there. And the verse comes into my mind. God says, before you call, I will answer. And the question starts running in my mind, how far in advance of my prayer did God answer? The 10 hours it took them to drive from Hinesburg, the 4 years the son had been living in Cincinnati, or the however many years it before the son was ever born, had God sent his answer? We can trust that God knows what is coming. God knows what the day is going to bring. God knows everything we are going to face. And we start here in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Yes, we talk about healing, we talk about forgiveness, but those aren't all the benefits of the Lord. He loves us and is at work in our lives. Psalm 107, verse 19. Says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their diseases. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Again, scripture telling us, God is our healer. God is our strength. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Talking about Jesus says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. God has made the way to redeem our lives. God has made the way to heal us. God has created the perfect sacrifice, sent Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for us. The being prophesied there in Isaiah of what Jesus would go through, but that it was for our benefit. So we've looked at these scriptures talking about how God is Jehovah the Rapha, the God who heals us, the God who's able to send his word and heal them. God is able to do all these wonderful things in our life. Now brings us to modern day. How many people have prayed for something that we haven't seen an answer to yet? every last one of us. It doesn't change the fact of who God is. There's a song by Casting Crowns called Praise You in the Storm. It says, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away and stepped in and saved the day. Once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. God, I've been praying. God, we've been crying out. We've been pouring our heart out, seeking your face, expecting an answer. The God who says, before you call, I will answer. And sometimes we don't hear the answer. It has to come down to trusting that God is still God. In Jeremiah 8, verses 20 to 22. Jeremiah talking and says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am mourning. Astonishment has laid hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Now putting that into the, as I call it, the real New English translation, the modern vernacular. God, we've been crying out and haven't seen an answer. Lord, we trust you. You are our only hope. We cry out and there we haven't seen what we prayed for. We haven't seen what we desired. When this comes up in our life, and it will, there are times, you know, people will say, you know, God has three answers, yes, no, and not yet. But as we cry out to the Lord, sometimes we don't see what we're expecting to see. Sometimes we do not understand what's going on. I don't know if who's heard the name, but about 100 years ago, there was a minister by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth would have a lot of tent meetings and a lot of different gatherings proclaiming the Word of God, and people were being healed. Smith Wigglesworth had horrible hemorrhoids to the point where he would bleed through his suit. He's standing up there praying for people to be healed. People are being healed. At the same time, he's losing bodily fluids. If you've watched the Chosen series, and I understand that not everything in the series comes from the Bible, but it's trying to fill things out. But there's been a couple of questions that arose in this past season. If you haven't seen it, I'm about to get, you know, spoiler alert. Sometimes there's people that God uses that have deficiencies in their own body. Sometimes God uses, I'll give you a perfect example. We know a minister. He's been here, I don't know, probably 8-10 times over the last 17-18 years. He was pastoring a Methodist church in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. He's since gone on to a different church. He is blind. His wife obviously does the driving, gives him around. Wonderful, wonderful couple. And quite a few years ago, maybe 8 years ago, we had a woman that was attending our church at the time, and she had a problem with her eyes. She was losing her eyesight. The blood vessels in her eyes were bleeding, and she was losing the eyesight, and the doctor said there's nothing they could do for her. And she was in asking for prayer. And this blind man got up, and his wife guided her over, and he laid hands on her and prayed for her. And her eyes were healed. He was blind. Her eyes were healed. Because God is God no matter what the vessel is, no matter who the vessel is. So we expect, we see healings. I remember I was a... Going back to when I was 12, going back to when I was a kid, we had a guy come to my church, and he was a well-known minister who later got written up in Charisma magazine. We used to have that. We probably still have that copy in storage somewhere, because everything we own is in storage. We sold our house last year. We're living out of 4 storage units in the bedroom of a dear friend's house, some dear friend's house, while we're waiting on our house to be built. But this guy, he had lost his left eye in a farm accident. A piece of baling wire took his eye completely out. And he came to my church, and he was preaching in my church. And as he preached in my church, and he had them tape up his right eye, his only eyeball, covered it, put gauze over it, taped it, so that he could not see it. He read my father's driver's license from an empty eye socket. Not just somebody that was traveling with him, my father, who he had never seen before, he read my father's driver's license. And he said, if I came up to you and I told you that I had lost my eye and God gave me another one, you would say, praise God, brother, that's wonderful. He said, this you will remember. That was 50 years ago. I remember it. I remember him standing there, tall man, with his eyeball taped up, reading my father's driver's license, not just my father's, but others as well. Reading it, I remember, and it's a testimony of what God can do. There is nothing too hard for my God. The question is, what do we do when, like Jeremiah, the harvest has passed, the summer has ended, and we are not saved? God, we have not seen the answer to the prayers. God, we haven't seen you move in the way we thought we were going to. God, this is still a need. God, my son is in jail. God, you haven't answered us. What do we do? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, hear, O King, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. Even if he doesn't answer the way I think he ought to, even if he doesn't answer the way I'm pleading with him to, he is still worthy to be saved. Last passage, Habakkuk 7, or Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail and fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the folds and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk on my high places. To the chief musician with the stringed instruments. In other words, this is what I declare, let's praise the Lord. My God is able. If he doesn't answer the way I think he ought to, if he doesn't answer the way I want him to, if he doesn't do what I poured out my heart for, he is still God and still worthy of praise. God is still my healer. God is still my deliverer, whether I see it in this life or not. I can't point to anything in my life and say where God has failed me. I can declare Ebenezer with the prophet, this far the Lord has been with me. God has been faithful. I may not understand why things are the way they are. I might not understand how come the answer seems delayed. But I know my God lives. Job says, in my flesh, I will see Him. I know my Redeemer lives. And there is nothing in this life that can take that away. There is nothing that I face. There is nothing we go through that can take the place or can take away the fact that God is faithful. And God has already promised to cause all things to work together for good. That there is nothing that comes into my life without having gone through the sovereign hand of an almighty God who loves me. Loves me so much. He sent His only begotten Son to buy back my life from destruction. To pay the price for my sin. And to impart to me His righteousness. That I might boldly go before the throne of grace knowing that my God redeemed me. Praise the Lord. Father, we don't have the answers. Father, sometimes even the questions tear us up. But we know that You are holy. We know that You are faithful. We know that You are righteous. We know Your ear isn't heavy that it cannot hear, nor Your arm shortened that it cannot save. There is nothing too hard for You. Whatever we face, whatever we encounter, whatever comes into our life, we know, Father, that You are right and righteous in all of Your ways. And Lord, we trust You. We rely upon You. As Peter said, Jesus said, will You also go away? Peter said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the one who has redeemed our lives from destruction. You are the one who made us to stand on solid ground. You are the one we will spend eternity with. Father, we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.